Braille and Speak User's Manual for the Braille and Speak Classic and Braille and Speak 640 as of December 1992, authored and narrated by Olga Espinola. This recording is on four tracks and is tone indexed as follows. Chapters are indexed by one long tone, and major sections are indexed by three short tones. Table of Contents.
Side 1.
About this manual. Introduction. Chapter 1, Getting Started. Section 1.1, The First Time Out. 1.1.1, The Concept of Files. 1.1.2, How to Use the Commands. 1.1.3, The Concept of Menus. Section 1.2, Making the Braille and Speak Talk the Way You Want. 1.2.1, Volume, Rate of Speech, Pitch, and Tone. 1.2.2, Announcement of Punctuation and Numbers. Chapter 2, Working with Your Files. Section 2.1, Reading in Your Files. 2.1.1, The Cursor. 2.1.2, Navigating Through a File. 2.1.3, Reading Blocks of Text. 2.1.4, Some Tips on Reading. Section 2.2, Searching for Text in a File. 2.2.1, The Location of the Cursor. 2.2.2, Finding Text.
Continued on Side 2.
2.2.3, Case-Sensitive Searches for Text. Section 2.3, Writing in Your Files. 2.3.1, The Files Menu. 2.3.2, Creating a File. 2.3.3, Room Left in Your File. 2.3.4, Getting Help. 2.3.5, Writing Text in Your File. 2.3.6, Writing Control Characters into a File. 2.3.7, Selecting Your Writing Mode. Section 2.4, Editing Text. 2.4.1, Overwriting a Character. 2.4.2, Backspacing and Rubbing Out a Character. 2.4.3, Deleting Text. 2.4.4, Inserting Text. 2.4.5, Copying Text into Your File. 2.4.6, Deleting Marked Text from a File. Section 2.5, Manipulating Files. 2.5.1, Getting a List of Existing Files.
Continued on Side 3.
2.5.2, Navigating Through Your Files. 2.5.3, Opening an Existing File. 2.5.4, Opening an Existing File by Its Number. 2.5.5, Renaming a File. 2.5.6, Write Protecting and Unprotecting a File. 2.5.7, Deleting a File. 2.5.8, Changing the Size of a File. 2.5.9, Free Space in Your Braille and Speak. Section 2.6, Summary. Chapter 3, Working with Other Tools. Section 3.1, The Clock and the Calendar. 3.1.1, The Clock. Narrator's Note. A double asterisk indicates that the following section is unique to the Model 640 Braille and Speak. End of Narrator's Note. Double asterisk. 3.1.2, The Calendar. 3.1.2.1, Checking Today's Date. 3.1.2.2, Setting Today's Date. Double asterisk. 3.1.2.3, Getting a Date from the Calendar. 3.1.2.4, Inserting a Date into Your Calendar. Double asterisk. 3.1.2.5, Calendar Alert. Double asterisk. 3.1.3, information about your files.
Continued on side 4.
Section 3.2, the stopwatch and the timer. 3.2.1, the stopwatch. 3.2.1.1, starting and stopping the stopwatch. 3.2.1.2, reading elapsed time. 3.2.1.3, stopping and resetting the stopwatch. 3.2.2, the timer. 3.2.2.1, finding out time remaining. 3.2.2.2, timing in the background. Section 3.3, the calculator. 3.3.1, basic operations. 3.3.2, setting precision. 3.3.3, inserting calculation results into your file. 3.3.4, performing percentage calculations. 3.3.5, storing and using the 6 memory locations. 3.3.6, extracting a square root. 3.3.7, error messages and tips. Double asterisk. Section 3.4, word exceptions. Section 3.5, macros. 3.5.1, what's a macro anyway? 3.5.2, recording a macro. 3.5.3, executing an existing macro. 3.5.4, how to check a macro. 3.5.5, pausing a macro. 3.5.6, write protecting macros. Section 5.6, the one-handed Braille and speak. Section 3.7, review only mode. Section 3.8, summary. Chapter 4, communicating with other devices. Section 4.1, introducing telecommunications and settings. 4.1.1, cables. 4.1.1.1, serial versus parallel.
Continued on side 5.
4.1.1.2, gender. 4.1.1.3, number of pins. 4.1.1.4, null modem cable requirements. 4.1.2, telecommunication settings. 4.1.2.1, baud rate. 4.1.2.2, parity. 4.1.2.3, duplex. 4.1.2.4, data bits. 4.1.2.5, stop bits. 4.1.2.6, handshaking. 4.1.2.7, the interactive mode. 4.1.2.8, rejecting ornamentation. Section 4.2, the portable disk drive. 4.2.1, the physical design of the disk drive. 4.2.2, retrieving a file from disk. 4.2.3, storing a file from the Braille and speak to the disk drive. Double asterisk, 4.2.4, transmitting text files or applications. Double asterisk, 4.2.4.1, sending files to the disk drive. Double asterisk, 4.2.4.2, receiving files from a disk drive. 4.2.4.3, adding an application to the Braille and speak. 4.2.5, reading the directory from a disk. Double asterisk, 4.2.6, the spell checker. 4.2.6.1, adding a word. 4.2.6.2, bypassing the word for the rest of the document. 4.2.6.3, reading a word in context. 4.2.6.4, correcting a word. 4.2.6.5, repeat a word. 4.2.6.6, getting help. 4.2.6.7, overlooking a word. 4.2.6.8 suggested replacement words. Section 4.3, printers, modems, and computers. 4.3.1, serial port active. 4.3.2, pending line feeds. 4.3.3, physical page format considerations. 4.3.3.1, double spacing. 4.3.3.2, page lengths, line lengths, and margins.
Continued on side 6.
4.3.3.3, numbering pages. 4.3.4, sending blocks of text to another device. 4.3.5, modems and other computers. Double asterisk. 4.3.6, using sophisticated modem protocols in transmission. Section 4.4, the Braille and Speak as a speech synthesizer. Section 4.5, sending Braille and Speak output to your computer screen. Section 4.6, summary. Appendix A, troubleshooting.
Continued on sides 7.
Appendix B, quick reference. Appendix C, technical information about serial ports. Appendix D, ASCII Braille symbols.
Continued on side 8.
About this manual. This manual is your roadmap as you explore the Braille and Speak's modes, features, and functions. In each chapter, we discuss commands and the tasks they perform. And we provide you with detailed examples of how to apply them in your daily life. Each chapter focuses on a specific topic area and takes you through all of the commands related to that topic in detail. We point out those features unique to the Braille and Speak 640, but most areas covered are applicable to both the Braille and Speak Classic and the Braille and Speak 640. Here is a key to the map. Introduction tells you what a Braille and Speak is. Chapter 1, Getting Started, explains what to do with the Braille and Speak when you take it out of the box for the first time. Chapter 2, Working with Your Files, walks you slowly and painlessly, step by step, through the process of reading and writing in your files, as well as manipulating them. Chapter 3, Working with Other Tools, gives you a guided tour of the Braille and Speak's built-in tools, the calendar, the calculator, the stopwatch, the timer, and much more, with practical examples of how you can optimize their power. Chapter 4, Communicating with Other Devices, works through the complicated business of file transfers, printing considerations, and working with the external disk drive, all in simple language without the technobabble you usually find in discussions of telecommunications. Appendix A, Troubleshooting, answers commonly asked questions about file recovery, file transfer screw-ups, and the like. Appendix B, Quick Reference, provides a complete listing of Braille and Speak Classic and Braille and Speak 640 commands organized by subject. Appendix C, Technical Information about Serial Ports, provides technical specifications about the serial ports in the Braille and Speak for connecting the unit to non-standard devices. Appendix D, Computer Braille Code, provides a complete table for the ASCII character set in computer Braille. By the time you finish exploring the Braille and Speak universe, you'll wonder how you managed without it. So let's get started. Introduction. What is a Braille and Speak? The Braille and Speak is a computer that lets you Braille into it and responds to you with speech. It can translate your grade 2 or grade 1 Braille into spoken words through its built-in speech synthesizer. Weighing less than 1 pound and having its own internal rechargeable battery and storage, this powerful computer can act as your notebook, your Rolodex, your calendar, your calculator, your stopwatch, your timer, and much more. You can use a Braille and Speak comfortably and unobtrusively at a meeting or on a street corner, or a subway, just as anyone uses a pencil and notepad. The Braille and Speak can talk with other computers, whether it's to store information on a disk or print it to a printer, or take information from another computer and store it for you to read later. It can also link you to a wealth of information through the phone by using an external modem, news, shopping, research, conversation with other computer users, and so on. If you have a personal computer with a screen access program, ASAP, Vocalize, JAWS, just to mention a few popular ones, you can turn your Braille and Speak into a portable speech synthesizer through its speech box mode. This comes in handy if you're on the go a lot and want to minimize the gear you carry, or you suddenly have to access a computer at a colleague's desk in a hurry. It's much easier to carry a floppy disk with your screen access program on it and your Braille and Speak than to carry around an extra speech synthesizer. There are two models of the Braille and Speak, the Braille and Speak 640 and the Braille and Speak Classic. The major difference between them is the capacity of the built-in storage. The 640 can store over 600 physical pages of Braille, or 640K of random access memory, whereas the Braille and Speak Classic can store over 200 physical pages of Braille, or 180K. Most commands are the same in both units, although there are some features unique to the Braille and Speak 640. We will highlight these differences for you as they arise. Overall, explanations apply to both models. Chapter 1, Getting Started. Let's start by giving the Braille and Speak a physical to see what it looks like and to learn the basics about its use. The Braille and Speak is about the size of a video cassette. Its keyboard consists of the standard 7-key Perkins-style Braille writer. The 5 rubber feet on its bottom prevent the machine from sliding around as you work. Place the unit in front of you with the space bar closest to you, the usual position in which you operate your Braille writer. Find the right corner closest to you and slide your finger towards the back of the unit. About halfway, you'll find the on-off rocker switch. To turn the Braille and Speak on, rock the switch away from you. To turn it off, rock it toward you. Immediately back of the on-off rocker switch is an earphone jack. You can also use this jack to connect your Braille and Speak to an external speaker or a patch cord to send the Braille and Speak's voice output to a tape recorder. Now find the left corner of the unit that is closest to you. Slide your finger toward the back of the unit and find 2 rectangular openings with a bunch of little pins in each of them. These openings, called ports, are used to connect the Braille and Speak to other devices. The port closest to you is used to connect the Braille and Speak to a portable disk drive, also available from Blazy Engineering. Immediately in back of the disk drive port is a second port called a serial port or an RS-232 port, which is used to connect the Braille and Speak to printers, other computers, and modems. In back of the 2 ports is an input jack for the AC power supply battery charger. Warning: when charging the Braille and Speak's built-in battery, you should use the wall transformer supplied with the unit, designed to provide the necessary voltage and current. Substituting another transformer which looks or feels like the correct one, but which has the incorrect voltage requirements, could cause the destruction of chips or other critical parts of the Braille and Speak. Under normal usage, a fully charged Braille and Speak functions properly under battery power from 15 to 20 hours, and it only takes 8 hours to fully charge a Braille and Speak. However, the length of time a Braille and Speak can function under battery power varies according to how you use it. For example, to use the Braille and Speak to communicate with another computer, you must activate the serial port. Heavy use of the serial port with the Braille and Speak on battery power rather than on AC drains the battery more quickly. Note, we offer an emergency cable that lets you power the Braille and Speak from an external battery should you be unable to charge the battery immediately. There is a handy safety feature on the Braille and Speak relevant to battery usage. The Braille and Speak warns you when the battery starts getting low and continues to warn you every time you press a key until you take action. Experiment with it, your individual machine, to see how much time it actually operates after the battery low message first occurs. Operating your Braille and Speak for too long a time at this low voltage condition may cause the scrambling of data stored in the machine. Should this happen, you may be able to recover the data, as you'll see later. If you do decide to experiment with the length of battery usage and your data, don't have any data you desperately need to keep, at least not until you are familiar with how to recover data on the Braille and Speak. The Braille and Speak comes fully charged from the factory, but eventually you will need to recharge the battery. Once you have done so, you must remember to set the battery use timer. We'll show you how to do that shortly. The optimal way to use the Braille and Speak is to keep it turned off most of the time when you are not in direct contact with it. In other words, if you are not reading, writing, computing, or transmitting data, keep the unit turned off. The beauty is that turning it off does not erase your data, and turning it back on instantaneously places you wherever you had stopped. In fact, the Braille and Speak does not like to be ignored and reminds you that it is still turned on with a hello message if you have not pressed a key within 5 minutes. And it continues to try to get your attention until you react, either by pressing a key or by turning it off. Now let's go to work. Section 1.1, the first time out. Let's assume that you're starting from scratch with the Braille and Speak set up as it comes straight from the factory. Turn the Braille and Speak on by flipping the on-off rocker switch away from you. The unit says, Braille and Speak ready, help is open. If this does not happen, flip the rocker switch back toward you to the off position and plug the AC power supply battery charger into the AC jack and flip the switch on again. You should then hear the announcement, Braille and Speak ready, help is open. Once you're comfortable with the Braille and Speak, or if you're in a setting where the Braille and Speak's startup prompt might disturb a meeting, for example, you may choose to start up the Braille and Speak silently. To do this, simply hold down the space bar as you turn on the unit. A click indicates that the Braille and Speak is ready for use. 1.1.1, the concept of files. Think of the Braille and Speak as it comes from the factory as a nearly empty three-ring binder, just waiting for you to fill it with your personal data. Usually a three-ring binder comes with tabs or separators of some kind to indicate the start of a new section in the binder. The Braille and Speak comes with a couple of files ready for your use. The help file contains a summary of the commands you use to operate the Braille and Speak. And the clipboard is like a blank scratch pad. More on this later. The 640 includes an additional file, a calendar, for you to start filling up with your busy schedule. When you start up the Braille and Speak for the first time, after the announcement, Braille and Speak ready, you hear the prompt, help is open. As mentioned earlier, the Braille and Speak keeps your place for you wherever you left off, whenever you turn it off. When you turn it on, it reminds you where you left off by announcing the name of the file that you left open. Since this is your first time turning the unit on, it announces that you have the help file open. 1.1.2, how to use the commands. all of the Braille and speech commands are produced by cording. If you've ever played a piano or other keyboard instrument, you know that a cord refers to any two or more keys pressed together. Isn't that what you do anyway when you Braille, you might ask? Yes, but for our purposes, cording refers to the pressing of any combination of Braille dots along with a space bar. So, for example, if we say, press the L cord, we mean press the space bar together with dots 1, 2, 3, the Braille letter L, making sure to press all the keys simultaneously. Whenever we refer to a cord for a Braille symbol other than a letter of the alphabet, we will write the exact dots to be pressed in parentheses for clarity. So, for example, when referring to an AR sign in grade 2 Braille, we will write out dots 3, 4, 5 in parentheses. There are several levels of commands in the Braille and Speak. Commands for menus of options, commands for navigating through your files and for performing various editing functions within those files, and commands for utilizing the Braille and Speak's built-in tools, such as running the stopwatch or storing to a floppy disk, or computing a formula. We'll get to each of these in separate chapters. For now, let's just stick to the basic commands you'll use to get started. The Braille and Speak is pretty forgiving when it comes to aborting the processing of a command. You usually press an E chord to enter or execute a command, but most of the time, if you change your mind in midstream, you can cancel the process with a Z chord. Depending on what you are doing, the Braille and Speak responds to an E chord either by performing some command or by exiting a menu that you have entered. More on this later. But if you do halt the processing of a command with a Z chord, the Braille and Speak announces abort. Whew. 1.1.3, the concept of menus. As we mentioned above, the Braille and Speak has a set of commands for working with menus. Just as a restaurant menu offers you choices of food, menus on a computer offer you choices of functions to perform. And a submenu offers more levels of choice. Continuing our restaurant menu analogy, let's say that the major menu is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then if you pick the dinner menu, you'll see choices for appetizers, entrees, desserts, and beverages. Clearly, you then need to check out each of those sets of choices for appetizer, entree, and beverage you want. And if you're very good, you'll skip the set of dessert choices. The Braille and Speak's menu system works very much like a restaurant menu. Basically, there is an options menu, a speech parameters menu, a status menu, and a parameters menu. Like the dessert menu, each menu in the Braille and Speak provides you with choices of its own. For example, from the options menu, you can choose between files, date, time, stopwatch, and calendar. Some of the menus are for performing functions and issuing commands. Some are for setting things to work to your specifications, like turning a setting on or off, or switching among its various modes. We'll get into the menus as we need to in this manual. For now, just remember that when you first turn on the Braille and Speak, you'll always be in the last file you worked on wherever you had left off in that file. If you want to do something from a menu, you have to issue a command to get to the menu. What's nice is that when you're finished with the menu, the Braille and Speak remembers to put you right back into your file just where you had last used it. Section 1.2, making the Braille and Speak talk the way you want. Before we look at the files that come in the Braille and Speak from the factory. Let's get the unit talking in the way that is most comfortable for you. You can adjust the speech in the Braille and Speak in several ways. Not only can you adjust the volume, the rate of speech, and the pitch and tone of the voice, but you can also adjust how the Braille and Speak handles the announcement of punctuation and numbers. To change any of the speech parameters, we use a command to take us into a menu of options for setting speech parameters. Press AR sign chord .345 to open the speech parameters menu. The Braille and Speak prompts you with set speech parameters and waits for you to enter an option. Should you enter an option that the Braille and Speak does not recognize, it prompts you with invalid parameter and waits for you to try again. To exit this menu, as you exit all menus in the Braille and Speak, press an E chord, and the Braille and Speak says exit. Let's run through the options available in the speech parameters menu. 1.2.1, volume, rate of speech, pitch, and tone. The speech parameters for volume, rate of speech, pitch, and tone are easy to manipulate. To make the Braille and Speak talk louder, press .4, faster, .5, in a higher pitched voice, .6, with a higher tone, .56. Conversely, to make the Braille and Speak talk softer, press .1, slower, .2, in lower pitched voice, .3, in a lower tone, .23. Each time you press one of the above dot commands, the Braille and Speak announces what you have done while producing the desired effect. So, for example, when you press .4, the Braille and Speak says louder in a louder voice. When you press .2, it says slower in a slower voice, and so on. Naturally, there is a limit to how soft loud and how fast slow and even how high or low you can make the voice. If you go too far in the softer direction for the volume, for example, you'll stop hearing the Braille and Speak announce softer. Don't panic. Just press .4 a couple of times to bring the volume back to where you can hear it again. Notice that we have not said press .4 chord, .2 chord, or whatever. You are already in the menu since you pressed an AR sign chord. The Braille and Speak knows that you are in a menu. Until you press an E chord, the Braille and Speak thinks that any keys you press are attempts to make a choice in the speech parameters menu. Experiment with the volume, rate of speech, pitch, and tone to find a set of levels that is comfortable for you. The Braille and Speak remembers how you've set the parameters and keeps the voice set just as you leave it when you exit the menu, and even after you turn off the unit and turn it on again. If you decide to return to the factory settings for speech, or anything else for that matter, there is a way to do that. We'll show you how later. 1.2.2, announcement of punctuation and numbers. Another set of speech parameters that you can change to your liking in the Braille and Speak has to do with the way in which the Braille and Speak handles the announcement of punctuation marks and numbers. If you want to hear a total announcement of punctuation marks, all of them, regardless of what and where they are, write the letter T, total punctuation. To hear most punctuation announced, write the letter M. And to hear only some punctuation, write the letter S. If you want to hear no punctuation announced whatsoever, write the letter Z. Remember, none of these settings is permanent. You can change them at any time. The Braille and Speak has two options for pronouncing numbers. You may prefer to hear numbers spoken as digits or as full words. Write the letter N to switch between the two modes. For example, if you write the letter N and the Braille and Speak says full numbers, this means that when you are reading a number, the Braille and Speak will say the full number, like 2,000. If you write the letter N again within the speech parameters menu, the Braille and Speak prompts you with digits. The next time you read a number, the Braille and Speak will pronounce each digit, like 2000. You'll probably want to set the Braille and Speak to read in digits most of the time, since phone numbers and addresses and zip codes and the like are easier to listen to as digits. If you keep numerical data, such as money information for your bank account, in your Braille and Speak, chances are that you'll want the Braille and Speak to pronounce full numbers to you for those times when you need that specific information read to you. There are several other speech options available from the menu, which we will talk about in Chapter 4. They have more complicated uses. For now, the basic speech parameters outlined here will get you started using the Braille and Speak with the most comfortable voice for you. You are now ready to start reading and writing files. Chapter 2, Working with Your Files. Before we can begin reading or writing anything in a file on the Braille and Speak, we need to talk about Braille translation and ASCII. Narrator's note: ASCII is spelled A-S-C-I-I, all in capital letters. End of narrator's note. The Braille and Speak has a built-in Braille translator for Grade 2 and Grade 1 Braille. You may have heard the term ASCII, pronounced ASC-E, from computer users. ASCII, American Standard for Information Interchange, is a code used by most computers today that are accessible to blind users. You need to become familiar with some of this code in order to respond to prompts in Braille and Speak. But wait, don't panic. Basically, the ASCII character set consists of all the letters and numbers, punctuation marks, etc., with which you are already acquainted. You'll probably not need to learn the rest of the ASCII character set unless you're into writing Greek letters and other unusual symbols. The Braille equivalent of ASCII, known as computer Braille code, consists of the Braille alphabet you already know, plus some twists for punctuation and numbers. It's important that you be able to write punctuation marks in computer Braille, as they differ from those you know in grade 1 or grade 2 Braille. In addition, the digits 0 through 9 are written in the four lower dots of the Braille cell. One is a dropped A, two is a dropped B, etc. You don't need to precede any of these dropped numbers by a number sign. Punctuation marks differ from those used in literary Braille, but they are easy to learn. See Appendix D at the back of this manual for a complete list of computer Braille equivalents to the Braille ASCII character set. For the most part, you write in Grade 2 Braille, and the Braille and Speak translates automatically to speak back what you brailled. However, you must be in the appropriate Braille translation mode for you to hear words spoken back to you instead of gibberish. The Braille and Speak Classic comes from the factory with Braille translation set to off. Note, the 640 comes from the factory with Braille translation set to off, except for the calendar file, where Braille translation is set to on. If Braille translation is set to on, the Braille and Speak assumes that the contents of the currently open file is in Grade 2 Braille, and it translates accordingly. For now, just remember that the help file we're using for practice, included in your Braille and Speak from the factory, is a file that has Braille translation set to off. After we discuss how to read what's in a file, we'll come back to this issue of Braille translation to show you how to switch between modes. Now let's find out how to read what's in the Braille and Speak. section 2.1, reading in your files. You have control over how much of the text in a file the Braille and Speak reads to you at any one time. You can command the Braille and Speak to read by paragraphs, sentences, line by line, word by word, even character by character, or if you prefer, you can command it to read the entire contents of a file without stopping. You can have it spell a word for you. You can specify the level of punctuation you want announced as you read. It can even read the translation of many of the grade 2 Braille contractions, or at least tell you what dots make up a character. For example, IN for the grade 2 contraction represented by dots 3-5 or 3-4 for the grade 2 Braille contraction for ST. 2.1.1, the cursor. If you've ever worked with a Perkins Brailler or a Slate and Stylus, you are familiar with the concept of a cursor, although you may never have called it that. In computer jargon, the cursor, used for reading and writing, refers to the electronic equivalent of your stylus or the Braille writer's punching mechanism. The cursor is very important because it marks the place where this electronic stylus is resting. You can't feel it anywhere on your Braille and Speak, but you can move it via commands, and you can find out where it is in your file and even what character is under it. When we talk about moving through your file to read by sentence, paragraph, or whatever, it means that we're moving the cursor to a particular place in that file and commanding the Braille and Speak to read from that location. Naturally, you can move the cursor forward and backward through a file. 2.1.2, navigating through a file. Moving through your files on the Braille and Speak is much easier than turning Braille pages. You can move instantly to the top or bottom, beginning or end, of your file, search for a particular word, or move by a specific number of lines. Moving to the desired location does not automatically mean that the Braille and Speak will read you what is there. Let's practice moving around the help file that is open automatically the first time you turn on your Braille and Speak. To move to the top or beginning of the file, press an L chord. The Braille and Speak says, top of file. To move to the bottom or end of the file, press a dots 4-5-6 chord. The Braille and Speak says, end of file. Once again, notice that it does not read anything. Simply tells you where your cursor is in the file. Knowing where your cursor is in a file becomes crucial, as you'll see, in writing. The Braille and Speak remembers where you left off in each file, even after you turn it off and turn it on again. Whenever you reopen a file, your cursor will be wherever you last used it in that file. Now suppose that you know how many lines you want to move forward or backward in your file. Press a number sign chord, dots 3-4-5-6. The Braille and Speak asks, enter number of lines to move. Write a number using the dropped Braille notation we discussed at the beginning of this chapter, followed by an E chord to execute the command. To move backward a number of lines, simply respond to the enter number of lines to move prompt by writing a minus sign, dots 3-6, before the number, followed by an E chord. The Braille and Speak moves the cursor backward or forward the number of lines you requested and reads you the line where the cursor is now resting. All right, enough with the suspense. Let's look at how to read what's in the help file. 2.1.3, reading blocks of text. The commands for reading on the Braille and Speak are very easy to remember because they revolve around the position of the space bar on the physical unit. To read the line, word, or character where your cursor is currently resting, press a C chord for current line, press a DOTS 2-5 chord for current word, and press A, DOTS 3-6 chord for current character. To move the cursor and read forward or backward by a line, word, or character, press a DOT 4 chord for next line and a DOT 1 chord for previous line. Press a DOT 5 chord for next word and a DOT 2 chord for previous word. And press a DOT 6 chord for next character and a DOT 3 chord for previous character. Notice how moving the cursor forward involves chords with the keys to the right of the spacebar, and moving the cursor backward involves chords with the keys to the left of the spacebar. Another way to think of it is to say that the chords involving dots closest to the spacebar are for lines, chords using the middle dots are for words, and chords using the dots furthest away from the spacebar are for single characters. If you want to move to the next or previous paragraph from where you are in your file, press a DOTS 5-6 chord for the next paragraph and a DOTS 2-3 chord for the previous one. The Braille and Speak moves the cursor to the next or previous paragraph and reads you the first line of that paragraph. Again, notice that forward cursor movement involves the chord to the right of the spacebar, and backward cursor movement involves a chord to the left of the spacebar. If you want the Braille and Speak to read you the entire contents of the file, or if you want to read from where you are in the file all the way to the end of the file, press an ER sign chord, DOTS 1-2-4-5-6. The Braille and Speak starts reading from your current cursor location, whether at the beginning of the file or not, and continues nonstop to the end of the file. Pressing a Z chord automatically halts the voice, leaving the cursor at the last word spoken. This is as good a time as any to talk about the Braille and Speak's definition of line and sentence. The Braille and Speak defines a line or paragraph based on the location of carriage returns or carriage return line feed pairs. On a physical piece of paper, a carriage return moves you to the beginning of a line, and a line feed moves you down a line. You don't need line feeds in a Braille and Speak document. You'll see why later. The Braille and Speak sees all text between one carriage return and the next as a single line of text. It considers all text between a set of two or more carriage returns and the next set of two or more carriage returns to be a paragraph. It defines all text between one period, question mark, or exclamation point and the next instance of one of these punctuation marks to be a sentence. By the way, the Braille and Speak may issue a plink sound when you run across a set of two or more carriage returns. If you don't want to hear this from anywhere in your currently open file, press an AND sign chord, DOTS 1-2-3-4-6. The Braille and Speak says, skip blank lines, enter wire N. Press the letter Y. From now on, you won't hear any distinguishing sound to tell you that you've passed over extra carriage returns. This mode may also be changed from the status menu with the same AND sign command. See Appendix B. In addition to being able to read by lines or sentences, you can read by blocks of text from 20 to 80 characters in length, referred to as windows. This is most useful when interacting with a computer or a modem. See Section 4.3. You can choose among these three reading modes, windows, lines, or sentences. To switch among modes, press a W chord from anywhere in your currently open file. The Braille and Speak says, speak windows, lines, or sentences. Whichever option you choose, a W, L, or S, the Braille and Speak says, OK. From then on, it will read you text in the mode you selected. Notice that we didn't say to enter an E chord to execute the command to switch among reading modes. This is one case where you don't need to press an E chord to execute the command. The Braille and Speak places you in your selected mode when you respond to the prompt by saying OK. You can cycle among the three modes in a flash as you read, and the Braille and Speak even remembers the mode you selected last the next time you turn it on. As with reading lines, you move forward or backward a window or a sentence at a time by pressing a .4 chord to move forward and a .1 chord to move backward. And, of course, to read the current window or sentence, simply press a C chord. Note, if you select the window option, you must also select the length of the window, preset to 80 from the factory. You can see its current setting by entering the status menu with an ST sign chord. The Braille and Speak says status menu and something like interactive on. Don't worry about that prompt right now. Just be aware that whenever you enter the status menu, besides the prompt confirming that you've entered it, you hear a prompt for the status of whatever setting you last checked. For now, just write a W to hear window length 80. You may change this setting at this time to any number between 20 and 80 and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak confirms your change by repeating it to you. Press another E chord to exit the status menu. Or you can simply change the window length parameter from the parameters menu by pressing a P chord. At the Enter Parameter prompt, write a W to hear window length 80. The number depends on how the parameter was set last. Change it to a number between 20 and 80 and press an E chord. The Braille and Speak says OK to confirm. Now let's turn to another reading capability of the Braille and Speak. What if you need a word spelled? Move your cursor to the word by pressing .2 chords to go backward or .5 chords to go forward until the cursor is resting on the word you want spelled. Press the chord for current word, .25 chord, twice to have the word spelled. In fact, you can continue having every word spelled as you move back and forth with .2 chords and .5 chords. Exit this spelling mode with any other chord. What if you need to identify a letter or Braille character that is unclear? Letters like B, D, G, P, T, V, and Z may sound alike when pronounced by a speech synthesizer. Press a .36 chord, the command to read current character, twice to hear a clarification of the letter. The Braille and Speak first pronounces the letter and then gives you a word that starts with that letter for clarity. So, for example, say you're on the letter C. Press .36 chord twice. At the first .36 chord, you hear C. At the second .36 chord, you hear Charlie. Take a few minutes to experiment with reading using the currently open help file. 2.1.4, some tips on reading. The automatic Braille translator. Remember that we said we'd come back to the issue of Braille translation? Let's see what happens if Braille translation is set incorrectly in a file. For sample purposes, we'll work with the help file in the 640, but the lesson applies to both models. Get to the top of the help file with an L chord. Now press a C chord to read the current line. The 640 says Braille and Speak 640 help file. Now let's play a trick on the Braille and Speak. Enter the parameters menu by pressing a P chord. The Braille speak says, enter parameter. Write the letter T for translation. The Braille speak says, Braille translator, enter wire N. Write a Y to turn on Braille translation. The Braille speak remembers where you were in your file and returns you there after you've finished the menu. So let's see what happens when we try to read the current line. Press a C chord. You should hear something like Braille not speak 640 help file. What happened? Well, the Braille translator sees the N and translates it into the word not. That's what. So the point is that if you ever get into a file that sounds like gibberish, chances are that you have Braille translation turned to the mode opposite what it should be for that file. Let's get out of this quick. Press a P chord again to get back into the parameters menu. At the enter parameter prompt, write the letter T. At the Braille translator enter wire N prompt, write an N. Now press a C chord again. The 640 should read accurately again with Braille translation off. The Braille speak remembers whether you want Braille translation on or off for each of your files. When you go through your list of existing files, if Braille translation is on for a file, the Braille speak reminds you by saying Braille file after telling you its name. This issue of Braille translation comes up again when we look at transmitting files from the Braille speak to a computer or vice versa. And it is a definite consideration when sending a Braille and Speak file directly to a printer. So it's worth taking a minute to practice moving back and forth between Braille translation modes here in the help file. It's safe. You can't damage this file, even if you try to write in it. It is protected from overanxious beginners. When we get into writing, you'll see how you can protect files yourself. Special types of characters. The Braille speak can identify uppercase characters and control characters to you as you read through your file. Control characters are used largely for formatting purposes to instruct a printer where to place the text. Common examples include carriage returns, line feeds, form feeds, and tabs. We'll show you how to write them in yourself later. As you're reading along in the help file, practicing moving from line to line, paragraph to paragraph, and so on, notice that the Braille speak uses the normal inflections of speech and pauses at commas, periods, and question marks. If you move your cursor forward or backward a character at a time, the Braille speak reads an uppercase character in a significantly higher than normal pitch. If it sees a control character, it reads it to you as well. The Braille speak doesn't normally bother to read control characters to you if you're just going along reading paragraphs or lines in your file. But as you move the cursor a character at a time, it does read them to you when it encounters them. Now take a few minutes to practice reading before you move on to learning about how to find text in your files. Section 2.2, searching for text in a file. The Braille speak can look for a word faster than you could if you had a printout of the file. Since you can look for text going forward or backward in your file, it's probably a good idea to know where your cursor is located when you're starting your search. 2.2.1, the location of the cursor. To find out where the cursor is currently resting, press a WH sign chord, dots 156, from anywhere within your file. The Braille speak says something like, column 5, cursor at 119. This means that the cursor is resting on the fifth place on a line and that you are 119 characters into the file. If the cursor happens to be resting on a carriage return, you'll hear column zero instead of any other number. Now let's search for text. 2.2.2, finding text. You can search for text forward or backward through your currently open file. When you issue the find command, you enter a search buffer, a scratch pad of sorts, until you press an E chord. If you change your mind and decide not to search for this particular text after all, you can cancel the search with a Z chord. While in the scratch pad, you can write text, also referred to as a search string, of up to 63 characters in length. You can use the backspace, B chord, to erase a character, just as you can when you're writing. And you can press a C chord to see what you've written so far. Let's see how it works. Press an F chord from anywhere within your file. The Braille and Speak says, enter text to find. Write a search string, the word speech, for example, followed by an E chord to execute the command. If the text is in your file, the Braille and Speak moves the cursor to its beginning and reads forward to the next carriage return. If it does not find the text, you hear not found. The cursor remains in the place where you started your search, and the Braille and Speak reads you from that cursor location to the next carriage return. If you want to reverse the search, start with an F chord, but when you hear enter text to find, write the text followed by a TH sign chord, dots 1, 4, 5, 6. If the text is found, the Braille and Speak moves the cursor to its beginning and reads forward to the next carriage return. If it does not find it, you hear not found. Braille and Speak remembers the text you last asked it to find, even from file to file. This can be a handy feature when you're looking for the same text in a number of different files. Let's practice using the 640 help file as an example. Press an L chord to move to the top of the help file. The Braille and Speak says, top of file. Press a WH sign chord to see where we are in the file, just to make sure that we are where we think we are. The Braille and Speak says, column 0, cursor at 1. Good. That means that we are indeed at the very first character location in the file. Now let's look for a word. Press an F chord. The Braille and Speak says, enter text to find. Let's look for the word read. End of side 1.